Would you stand, please? We want the service tonight to be led of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Let's just seek tonight to be sensitive to God and to allow Him to move any way He wants to move, through whomsoever He wishes to move, at any time He wishes to move. Let's tonight open our hearts up so that we say, Lord, so we don't say, Lord, move through somebody else, but we say, Lord, I am here tonight. And if You would deign want to move through me, to exhort, to love, to testify, to give revelation, to be used by a gift of the Spirit in utterance, to bring forth a vision, to share my heart, to weep, to repent, to heal, to bless, to be of any use to this body in any way, here am I. And may we also say, Lord, I know that unless we become as connected pieces of a bamboo pipe that You would water Your garden through, that the water will not reach the other side if there's a break in the line. Unless each one be as an instrument tuned up in Your great orchestra, the sound thereof, the praise, will not be what You want it to be. May each one recognize that collectively we make up what will cause the Almighty God to be loved and appreciated. And so may each one of us tonight take our stand before God with a holy reverence, with a piety, recognizing that we are standing in the presence of an almighty sovereign who is the creator of this heaven and earth, who is spirit, who is real, whose divine energies are here tonight to be tapped and used by whosoever opens up in a heart of faith and holiness to God. And we pray tonight, Lord, that we might stand with faith in You, not doubting. We pray that our minds not be blown about by every person, situation of the week and those that are about us, but this hour might be given to Thee to glorify Thy name. And, O Lord, we put ourselves at Your disposal this evening to do with whatsoever You wish. Break our hearts, O God. Break us, O God. Break these clay vessels that the treasure might be seen. Humble us tonight. Bring forth beauty from ashes. Prune us back. Take us a few more revolutions on the wheel. Lift up the clay or press it down. But Lord, not our will, Thy will be done. But Lord, ere we leave this house of God tonight, we would know that we have met with our Master, that we have been in business with God. May we not sit here in the flesh and in the soul only, but, O Lord, may our spirits be in tune with You. May we reach Thee tonight in heavenly places and sit at Thy feet. May we be cognizant that God is here, and may we stand still a moment and contemplate Thee and see the salvation of God in our midst. I pray that we might not be quick to run into the house of God and speak, but I pray we might stand with a holy awe and fear, might drink and think deeply upon Thee. I pray also, Father, we shall not be afraid and stand back in fear, but we might see the grace of God and the work on Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ efficacious. We might be bold in the Holy Ghost to reach forth and trust God with the ministries wherewith we minister one to another tonight. Holy Father, we don't want this to be a stereotyped church service. We want Jesus to be here in our midst and to do something profound in us. We want to be a different people. We don't want to be the same people. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We want, O God, to have the Holy Ghost breathe a fresh breath of His Spirit in us tonight, that this place might be shaken of the Holy Ghost. that new tongues of fire may appear upon each one. That there might be a burning out of the dross, a new breath, a new drink at the fountain, a new wind of faith, a new pressure, O God, of thy Spirit to goad us into a new step in thee. Grant unto us hind feet tonight as we climb the mount of God. Help us to be profound in thee. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher tonight. May your presence be with us. May each one keep in the Spirit and move under a mighty anointing. Have thy way, and we shall give thee the praise and glory tonight. Forever and ever in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. We love you, Jesus. We love you and we adore you. We praise you. We magnify your marvelous name. Glory be to God in the highest, on earth, goodwill toward men. Lord, 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 exalted Savior, we love you. We praise you and thank you for our salvation. We glorify thee for eternal life. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Hey, Sayalamakiana. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, hallelujah, Lalia, Papa, Lamasi, Alamati. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, my Savior. Yeah.
all of love to give
to you.
My beloved, I am here, full of love to give to you. You just simply need to believe I will meet you as I have said, my dear lovely, lovely bride. I will lift you high. All you need to do, my dove, is to turn your eyes on me. I am here, my sweet one. I will meet your every need, for I love you, love you, love you. Yes, I love you, love you. I have called you, yes, I have, and I will never leave you. I will never leave you. I do love thee, yes, I do.
Hallelujah. The secret of body ministry is if you're anointed, trust God. If you want to talk, keep seated. As Melinda sang in the Spirit, just before she sang, I knew that the Lord wanted somebody to sing. At that moment that the Spirit of the Lord was upon somebody, I almost got up here. And I said, Lord, I don't want to get up here and say if someone would step forward by faith, and I said, I'm just going to pray that they'll do it. And I prayed, and she did this. Then right afterwards, I knew that the Lord wanted to interpret it. She sat down, and I let it be a minute. I prayed for her, and I went over, and I said, are you anointed? And she said, yes. And I said, trust the Lord. She said, all right. She got up and had no trouble in interpretation. You know, it's a fearful thing, just kind of fearful in the natural to start right out, and you don't have anything in your head yet. You want to wait till you get something. But God doesn't work that way. As you start off believing, He'll give it to you. Otherwise, if you have it before time, it's your own mind. And so it's a step of faith out in the water. It's a little bit difficult, but if you just trust the Lord, it's right there. The anointing is there, you just trust the Lord. And I believe that this applies to our entire life and to the service tonight. So many times we say, Lord, you prove yourself to us, then we'll do it. Make a way and we'll do it. And he says, no, you do it and I'll make a way. You do it and then I'll prove myself. And in the body ministry, the whole secret is, if you've got a lot of things inside you want to say, keep seated. But if you're anointed, and the anointing of the Lord is upon you to do something, just do it. Just do it. Don't hold back. Just do it. And the Lord, we want to wait before the Lord tonight. But the big gaps come because the fear, the natural fear in man, to say, what if I get up and do something and it isn't right? What if this and what if that? But you don't have to say, what if, because there's no way to tell ahead of time. The only way to know is the anointing of the Lord upon you in a way that you know that He wants you to minister. And if so, don't worry about a thing. Just do it. Just do it. Let's just let God breathe upon us tonight. Let's let Him just take this service. Let Him have it. And teach us what it's like to have the Holy Spirit to bear the service by a whole body of people that keep in tune and not just watch. And people who are sensitive so that they don't have people getting up and breaking it by giving some testimony that isn't born of the Spirit. And having it brought forth, but not by somebody sitting back when God's doing something, so there's a waiting and waiting. But a spontaneous, quick, just absolute trust, just in the second that the Spirit is upon you, just a flow of the Spirit. Let's see if the Lord will back up His people, and they will. So let's see if His people will trust the Lord. The Lord is great, and He's greatly to be praised. And everyone that will stand in Him and trust Him as He moves and breathes upon them will be energized by His Spirit, and they'll be strengthened thereby, and He will teach us how to move in His Spirit. And shortly we shall stand in a new day with a new anointed power in the Spirit, an anointed way and anointed services that are being led of God into a body ministry that comes quickly and spontaneously as people learn when they're in the Spirit and when they're not, and to trust Him instantly when they are, and to hold back when they're not and let the Spirit just carry it. Let's let God have His way tonight.
Carilando yo lo 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 no yo lo 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 rana Berishiti ti la lando yo lo po paie Carilando yalando yalando lo mo bobo riata la ri Carili Bereishi tikiti alando lo moti, karilando lo moro lo ti, katishi ti aleti ti lano bereti, bereti. Oh Jesus, we come before Thee, because You're worthy, Lord, of all our praises. Because You're worthy, Lord, and You have all things, and everything is by You, and Your name is exalted above all. And we are nothing without You, and You desire of us our praises, freely given, Lord, unto You. We give them, Jesus, in freeness unto You. We exalt You, Lord, we glorify You, Lord Jesus. You are everything, O Lord. You are worthy of all praise and glory. You are worthy of all, O God. We give ourselves unto You tonight, God, to praise and to magnify You. Hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah.
Listen, I feel that God wants this entire body to awaken into a brand new place in the Spirit of God. And I'm insistent that when this month is over, this August month is over, and I know you say, well, what about now? Well, we've got to move now. But I'm saying when this August month is over and we're starting a new step as camp meeting starts a brand new year in our holy year, our jubilee, so to speak, you know. I want to see this body move in the Spirit. We've had many times in days gone by of the move of the Spirit and the singing in the Spirit and moving the Spirit, and it's kind of fallen off. And I'm going to ask that every single person in this assembly begin to be on the face and waiting before God. Get everything settled. Get your life settled. Don't drag on with all kinds of wormy things in the pool. But get the pool cleaned out and get the gushing water flowing. Get things straightened in your mind and decide whose side you're on and step out in faith, simple childlike faith, and believe God for every single thing in your life. The point is start being like a little child in faith and trusting God for everything. Don't do anything without asking God to be in it. Trust Him for everything you want. Trust Him for everything. I'm not saying be fanatical and foolish. I'm not saying to do that. I'm saying trust Him for everything that's right and needful in your life. I'm saying that whenever you take an automobile ride, say, Lord, protect me on the highway. I'm saying when you go to speak to somebody, say, Lord, give me the words. Everything. Believe Him. Don't just say it, but believe Him for it. And come right on in faith believing. I'm saying to begin to be sensitive in the Spirit and keep everybody alive, pious before God. No running around in your mind on other things, but every person is locked into God. Where you begin being sensitive to the Spirit, that only sensitive people move. If you want to sing, don't sing. If you're anointed to sing, sing. If you want to speak, keep quiet. If the anointed to speak, speak. And begin to go by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And see what a change God will wrought in this people when anointed words are coming forth. You know, the people can tell the difference. They can tell the difference. I believe, I am excited inside because I know that God is going to do marvelous things. Right in front of us. But now, this is the time to get everything decided on, decisions made, get your mind and spirit and life in order. And as Brother Gill said, rebuke wandering minds and everything else that is not of God and set ourselves for the most mighty move of the Spirit that this country, this world, this body has ever seen. I am saying that I am believing God, and I want every one of you to join with me in prayer. To believe God that this camp meeting shall be the start of a new, fresh visitation from heaven, a heaven-sent visitation with a power and a freedom in the Spirit that we've never had before. It'll come because of faith and prayers for it and a willingness to put your life in order and get everything else out that's troubling you and trusting God and begin to move in the Spirit and move in God. We've got to get away off of this earthbound. I want to tell you, and I'll close with this. Words just can hardly explain what I really want to say. And what I really want to say, and I'm speaking to everyone, including myself, what I really want to say is if we will decide to come up here into a full sonship privilege, with whatever stage of maturity or immaturity we have, if we will quit looking at ourselves and move up here and decide to take the power available to us, God will use that power and anointed ministry in the church to perfect us. We're looking to be perfected so we can do some things. We'll never get there that way. But if we, as we are, will move up and begin to move by faith with a willingness in our heart, we'll find that God will transform us. Almost everybody could be delivered from most of the major problems. If they would honestly come before God and say, Lord, I have got to make a decision on this thing. I cannot go on any longer. I rebuke the devil in this thing. I accept your deliverance and I take it now and I walk in it and it's mine. You'd be delivered like that. That's all it would take. Wouldn't take any teams or anything else. Just that decision can set you free at the moment. and free we're going to be. We are going to move with a whole new position in God, with a new spiritual philosophy, if you will. And I want everyone to understand what I'm saying. Put yourself in that place. Don't interrupt it. Don't come in sideways. Obey. Get yourself in order. And let's move as we've never moved before. Do I have your cooperation in this? I'm excited, for this is going to be the most marvelous fall that we've ever experienced in the Lord. We're going to have the Lord come down in mighty deliverance. We're going to have people weeping up here, confessing sins and telling what God has done, speaking into a new anointing and a new power. We're going to have people's lives changed. We're going to have people loving and helping and upbuilding one another. We're going to be used in a move of God to do things like never before. And instead of all being done at a petty carnal human level and everybody trying to elbow one another through the door and push people back and get up and bragging what they did and just talk and tell stories and share and all the rest, it's going to be done on a new level, an anointed level, when the heart is for Jesus Christ and the souls of men. And I am thrilled already by divine expectation about what God is going to do right up in front of us. You're going to see souls set free, tongues loosed of his men, speaking into an anointing and a power that never dreamed possible. We're going to see miracle healing and deliverances and new gifts given. Many, many, many new gifts given. We're going to see new ministries arise. We're going to see a lot of things happen. It'll happen as they pay the price, and I'm not willing to go any longer without paying the price. And this is the hour right now to get this set in motion. And time we start, I'm going to insist that we start in a blaze of fire for God. We're going to do it. And want everybody to be praying and testifying, exhorting and working toward this end. Put every energy you've got into it. And we're going to move for God as never before. Amen?
I'm absolutely convinced that God wants to move mightily upon us and put us in a new place before camp meeting begins. I feel that he wants to take this people and put us in position so that time camp meeting gets here, that we're already moving in new realms of the Spirit. I feel that God wants to overshadow us as he overshadowed Mary, and that thing that was in her was begotten of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that way we're going to see the man child formed in us is exactly the same way, except in a spiritual sense, that Mary had the man child Jesus formed in her. It was a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and he put within her womb that which was necessary to bring forth the man child. And what Don is talking about, I believe, is that move of the Holy Spirit upon lives, so that that which comes from us is begotten by God, and it is God himself that's going to bring it forth and manifest himself through us. Oh, I know that God wants to do that in each member of this church in these weeks prior to camp meeting. Somebody was talking the other day, and I overheard the conversation, and they were talking about the end time move of God and wondering. They were kind of thinking out loud, as it were, and saying, you know, we talk about the great outpouring of the Spirit of God and what this move of God is going to be, but what is it actually going to be? What is it going to cost us? What does it entail? It entails more souls. It entails babes in Christ to have to be nurtured and succored and taken care of. It entails work. It entails maturity by us. It entails a willingness for us to take these souls under our wing and begin to nurture them and help them in the Lord. It causes us then not to just have one babe in Christ to protect and watch over and feed, but maybe we'll have a half a dozen. That's what it's going to cost us. But oh, can we pay the price, and are we willing right now to do that which God has set before us? Or are we letting souls slip out between our fingers all the time we're praying waiting for more to come in. Oh, I think that we need to stop and examine ourselves. But as he was talking, I couldn't help but think, you know, the difference is going to be that we're going to be on our faces before God. We're going to be a prepared vessel as Mary was, so that the Holy Spirit can overshadow us, so that he can place within us that which is needed. And then every single thing that we do and say is going to be born by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to experience new, fresh anointings of God. We're going to be very conscious of the fact that we're moving in a new plane and a new realm in God. We're going to be born along by the Spirit of God. Oh, I so much want every single decision that's made around here to be a God-made decision. I so much want every single decision that you make in your own personal life to be a God-made decision. I want everything about every part of our lives to be born of the Holy Spirit. And God is waiting to do just that. And all he needs is just like he needed Mary of old, a yielded, willing vessel. Don't care about the reproach that it might cost you and what people might say. Be willing to let the Lord overshadow you, that you might move in a new plane, that you might have something begin to happen in you. And so we can see, oh, look at that person. They're pregnant with the man child. Oh, it's about to come forth. That's what God wants to do, so that at camp meeting time, we'll find out that it will be born forth. And now we will be in that state to produce that which God wants to do in us. Then we'll each one be able to minister to souls. And don't you know that God knows how to bring those souls in if we're ready to take care of them? Oh, how many times have I prayed, Lord, build us, Lord, multiply us, but not faster than we can handle it. Not faster than we can get them on board. Not faster than we can grow them up. Don't swamp us with people who have ideas and they're stiff-necked and stubborn and won't bend and become willing to conform their lives to the Word of God. Don't send us too many people that are lethargic and sit there like bumps on a log, else that might be catching and we might settle down and become the same as the status quo. Oh, and I know, though, that when God gets us to a place where he can entrust us with the teams of people that are hungry for the Lord, and when it won't swamp us because each one of us, our lives are in order, and everything in our lives is born of the Holy Spirit, every decision we make is born of the Holy Spirit, when we're in tune with God, then no matter how many come in, we're going to bring them up to our level instead of us settling down to theirs. Oh, God wants to do a mighty work in us. I am so hungry for more of God. I worry. The Spirit of God within me grieves when God brings forth a message like he did this morning and it seems to go unheeded. I say, oh God, is that community chapel? We used to be so thrilled. We used to hang on every word that God would speak. We used to have so much reverence for the move of the Spirit of God and for the Word of God. And now what do we have? Children running in and out, adults running in and out, people taking a ho-hum attitude. It seems like there isn't the same reverence for the Word. We don't have the same attention span that we seem to have. What's happening to us? I'm jealous for the move of God. I know God wants to do so much more than he's able to do. I'm jealous for every single service. I don't want the Spirit of God to be grieved because our minds are on the watermelon feed that we're going to have after the service, or the fellowship or whatever, and we're just here sort of biding our time so we can get together afterward with our boyfriend or girlfriend, and our mind is thinking about all the fellowship and communication that we can have with one another, as wonderful and sweet as it is. But oh, we're not giving God our full attention. And if we don't, we're not going to experience the move of God. It isn't that God is arbitrary, I don't believe, and that he's just going to arbitrarily dump his Spirit out upon us. Oh no, he's waiting for a people that really want it, that are zealous for it, that will pay any price to get it, that got to have it no matter what. And then we'll see God move upon us as he desires to. I know that God wants to do something special in you prior to camp meeting. Please don't just sit back and wait till camp meeting to get here before you decide to take that which God has for you. Let God do it in you. Make the decision, oh Lord, if nobody else moves, I want to move in you. Starting tonight, I make a new commitment unto thee, oh God. Take me, use me, oh, overshadow me, and place that within me which is necessary to cause that man-child to come forth in me. Let me be an example to the rest of the flock, oh God. Begin that work in me. Oh, I remember some years ago as I was in a little Bible study, the Spirit of God came upon me after the pastor dismissed for prayer, and I began to pray that prayer fervently. Oh God, start the work in me. These cold, dead people that I'm sitting here next to, Lord, if you have to use me, do it. I'm willing. I'm willing, oh God, to be made a fool of if necessary. I'm willing to be the only one that comes down to the altar and waits on my face before God and begins to intercede and cry in the Spirit. And though they don't understand what I'm doing, I don't care if they mock me or what. I'm willing, oh Lord. I'm willing to be made an example. If you can possibly use me, use me. Oh, it wasn't very long after that, and this church was born. God honored that prayer, and he heard that cry, and he'll honor that prayer of yours that you're sending up to him right now. I believe it. Oh, I'm not discouraged. I'm just anxious. I'm just concerned. I don't want us to run late on God's timetable. I want us to be ready and willing to step into the places that God wants to take us. And I know that he's going to have a people in this last day that will step in. I just want it to be us, that's all.
Well, someone's coming up to minister. I just want to say this. I'm glad that when we begin to get a little sleepy, a little sloppy, to veer off, that the Spirit of the Lord is always faithful to come and correct us and say, you're not going to get away with this. If you are a holy people called by my name, and now I'm going to chastise you and goad you, and I'm going to call you on the carpet before me, and you're going to walk right. I'm glad that the Lord is faithful to do that. And his Spirit is calling us even this night higher, and I'm thankful for that. And I want to lay a pastoral command upon you right now. I intended to do it next Sunday morning, doing Christianity in Balance. I may still do it then. I may not have to take all the time. I'm sure there are those who will be there then that are not now. I'm sure I'll mention it, but how long, I do not know. But while the Spirit's moving and you're in the framework of desiring to do what God wants you to do, in a framework of obedience before God, I want to take this opportunity to ask you to do this. The Bible says to obey them that have the rule over you. Now I know I'm speaking like Paul when he said, I magnify my office. Sometimes you have to do that. I want to know how many honestly before God submitted to this pastor and this church government. And you'll do what he asks you to do, and you won't just say you'll do it and not do it. Sometimes people stand and then they don't do it. I've asked people how many will pray before services, and people stood. And then when I look over the congregation, and most of the people are praying, and I recognize we've got visitors. But as I see those sitting in the pews, my mind says, how many of you stood when I asked you to stand before God and man and make a vow? How many of you stood and said, I'll pray before services instead of sit? How many of you break the covenant? How many of you are covenant breakers? How many are guilty of fraud before God? How many promise things you never fulfill? These are the things that are holding back the Church of Jesus Christ. When God's people say they'll do something, they'll do something. And I'm going to ask you to repent of that. I'm going to ask you to follow the direction of this pastor, lest you be disobedient and God cause us all to suffer. Moses had to suffer, and all Israel had to suffer for some of Israel. I'm speaking of David. I want to know how many are committed to this church government to obey this pastor. If I ask you to do something under God, you believe that you're required before God to do it? If the Bible says so, and you'll do it. If you do, I want you to stand. I'm going to ask you to do something. Thank you, sweethearts. You may sit down. We have had numerous complaints of late by visitors about the impiety of this assembly. They cannot believe it. Shook to the foundation. One person came in and said, I don't know if I ever want to come back. While somebody's praying, people are walking all over the place, out in the foyer, wandering all around. Service going on 5-10 minutes, people wandering around, sitting, chatting out in the foyer. No reverence for God, it seems. The whole thing is down the drain. That's going to change right now. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. We're not going to have a church like that. I lay a pastoral command on every one of you that you get all your drinking, the fountain, and your bathroom things settled before the service, and you hold until the end of service. I realize sometimes there are utter necessities upon people, exceptions, and that's all right. I've suffered because of a deviated septum with sore throat. I have to speak a lot. I have made some trips to the drinking fountain. I have all thought about putting a water glass right there. I know, but you're not under the same position. Most of you don't have the same kind of a throat condition. Neither are you having to speak. You're not feeling a dryness, so you can hardly speak. And it's an excuse to get up and wander around. We're not going to do it anymore. We're going to come in and be seated. We're going to pray when the people pray. We're going to pay attention. And we're not going to be a stumbling block to the Lutherans and Methodists come in and say, what's the matter with this group? You see, we become too familiar with the presence of God. We think there's sawdust all over the floor and shavings. And there's a tent overhead and selling hot dogs outside and soda pop on the other side or something. We become too loose with these things. We're going to come into reverence in God's place. I want every person to fasten your mind upon God during the whole service. This is not a time to be thinking about anything but the things of God and what's coming forth. Now I've asked you tonight if you would be willing to do that. If you would be willing to do that, would you raise your hand, please? You do your part. Thank you. I appreciate it so much. I feel so good in my spirit, because I know that God is going to be pleased with our decisions. Every time it has come to a place like this, a community chapel, and I've had to bring something like this, the people have always responded 100%. And do I appreciate it? It gives me faith in this church, in this body. It makes me love you. It gives me courage. If I did not have the people assent, if your hands stayed down and you would not, I'd go off in misery and cry before the Lord. I wouldn't know what to do. But thank God, You can't pastor sheep that won't pay any attention to the call. This is the thing that's kept Community Chapel going, is the willingness of the people. And come the day we ever pull back and rebel, we're all done. We're all washed up. But we're not washed up. Thank God we're going on. We may get a little discouraged. We may fall back in a little lethargy. We may stop at a time or take a wrong turn, but God will always correct us, and we'll go on again. I have felt for the last few weeks my messages are turning. I've been preaching motivating messages, holiness messages. I'm about all done with that for the moment. The Spirit of the Lord has been moving me to another area. The Spirit of God has been very clearly telling me, now I don't fancy that we're all there, but He's been very positively telling me, you have preached it, and they that have heard it have heard it. And it won't do any good to keep preaching it to those who haven't heard it, because they won't hear it this time. You go on. The two messages that I feel to bring are messages that will bring faith and victory and this type of thing to inspire the people's faith and vision. And the second is new practical truths and understandings about the words of God that open new areas of understanding and vistas. So what I'm saying is, you that have not responded, you're going to stay where you are unless you catch the vision and begin to move, because I'm not going to be preaching that way. I'm through with that for the moment. I'm sure I'll come back to it again. But God is moving us on into a new step. I clearly feel and see a new step. And while I'm still saying that I think that camp meeting and on will be a fresh breath, I agree with what my wife said. If we wait to camp meeting to start, we'll have a dead camp meeting. Unless we start now and move and have something substantial built by that time and a willingness, and we prayed through and put ourselves in the right place, we will not start where we should be starting. And I'm very serious about this. I love all you, dear people. You're my charges. You're my sons and my daughters and brothers and sisters in the faith, and I love you dearly. And I cannot exist without the presence of the living God. And we need Him hungering in my soul for more of God. And I'm going to put myself in a place here very shortly where I'm going to move in a place, and I would ask every one of you to please pray for me. I feel that I've got to lay on my face before God and hear from heaven and put myself in a new relationship. I feel good in my soul. I feel right before God. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I feel His Spirit. I'm not having sins in my life. But I feel that I have got to come into a new area. And I feel that I need the prayers of the saints. The Apostle Paul said, brethren, pray for me. And I want you to be diligent to pray for me. Not forget me, please. Because what God does through me will be the start of what God does through you. And so if you care about the move of God, pray for your pastor. Pray for the work of God. Let's stand together and join arms. We're all through fighting one another, right? We're on the same team. We're going to join forces. We're going to help one another. We're not going to elbow one another. We're going to join one another. We're going to work together for God. We're going up. And those that won't go up are going out. But we're going to decide for God, my friend. We're going for God. We're all through with the depth of carnality and things. We're not going to allow it to go on and on. We don't want people. We're not going to allow people any longer to test and press the counselors and press the pastor and argue with the people. No, we don't have it, a lot of this. We've got a very sweet congregation. But it comes here and there. We're not going to do it anymore. We're going to say, you either follow the counsel or you go someplace else. You either for us or you're against us. We're not going to come down and walk your way. We're not going to bring it down to your level. We're not going to change and let you teach us. We're going to lead you. And you're either coming with us or you're not coming at all. You're going someplace else. And that's the way it's going to be. Because we've got to walk holy before God. We've got to live and do right. And I don't want to be like old Eli that fell over backwards in a chair and break my neck because I didn't bring my sons up to do right. You're not going to pressure this father to go your way. You're going my way. And I'm going God's way. We're going to all go together. I love you, dear ones. I'm not going to let you go to hell if I can help it. I'm not going to let you drag. I'm going to make sure that we rise to full vigor and we're going together. I want every one of you to be a helping hand to me. Be a worker together with me. Stand with me and make this your church. And you stand as the pastor's aide. Every one of you are now appointed. You see anything, any position, anything, you keep your eye. This is your church. This is the work of God. You're part of this body. You take a hold of it and work together and take care of this family of God. Do everything you can. Don't let anything go. That should be goal. Don't sit back and feel, but exhort one another daily what is called today, lest anyone be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. We've got to move for God. Amen? Amen. And so shall we shall. And this is going to be the most glorious year in God we have ever experienced. I feel so good in my soul because I see a whole way clearing up. God bless you.
I felt such a stirring tonight in the services that I've attended of as of late. Just a churning in my heart just to be honest before the Lord, to have more of Him and just to get my life in order and to be humble and just to want His glory to shine through and not myself. And people may think it's fun to have a ministry of singing or being up here, but there's a deep responsibility that goes along with it. And I've just felt such a churning and such a desire to have more of God and have more of the attributes of Jesus. Just be able to give to my family, to be loving and kind and submissive in all things. And I just am praying daily for all these things.
Lift up my
This is the cry that's down inside of the spirit of every person that is here tonight that is longing to be what Jesus wants them to be. That cannot be realized until our spirits cry, more of you. Lord, more of you. That's the answer that we're seeking for. More of you. Men are going thousands of miles and paying hundreds of dollars to get into seminars to tell them how to do this or that or secret or how to have faith and how to do miracles and this and that and the other thing. The whole thing is wrapped up in that cry of that song. More of you. More of you. This will come as we're willing to spend time at the foot of Jesus in heavenly places. This will come as we begin to get before God and say, oh God, I am bereft of thy power and anointing. I've got to have more of you. I've got to have a hunger and a thirsting. I've got to have your anointing. I've got to have your mind. It will come when we begin getting desperate before God. It'll come when we get willing to turn off on the world and our carnality and pay the price. More of you.
Something I wanted to share. Remember a testimony that Donna Barbara shared some time back about years ago in camp meetings where God's Spirit came upon a woman in the basement of preparing dinner and things. She had to come up out of that basement and prophesy as God's Spirit was upon her and bring forth what God had in that hour. She didn't know exactly maybe all that was going on upstairs, but as the Spirit of God came upon that woman, I remember she dropped her mundane duties and I guess came up with her apron on, and I don't know if it was Barbara's mother or who it was, but she began to prophesy. God's Spirit was upon her. So tonight I was back there doing ushering duties and I kept feeling the Spirit of God want to do something. And being involved in mundane duties, I didn't come down. So tonight, Chrissy's going to share something possibly just before we sing. We're going to sing a medley of songs. Then we're going to sing a separate song that we just have been practicing lately. And then after we sing it through a few times, we'd like you to sing with us. Because it's really the expression of your heart, which I know it is tonight. If I could look inside each one of your hearts. And sometimes we need to just sing that expression to the Lord. So she'd like to share now.
Last night, Ron testified and he said that he said that God will take us right where we're at. But yet, he won't leave us there because he loves us too much. I just feel so overwhelmed with the Spirit of God tonight. I feel so jealous of the move of God. And I'm so thankful that we have a pastor and his wife that won't leave us where we're at, but yet they're willing to follow the heart of God. They're not willing to let us stay where we're at. I know there's many here and they're at all different levels in the Lord, and I know that there's many older ones that have become real comfortable, and although they seem more spiritual than others, they know they're not where God wants them to be. And I know as I've been praying that I felt such a jealousness for the move here and for the camp meeting that's coming up, and I know that it's not just the pastor and his wife that are going to the move of God, they're not just going to be the move of God. It takes the whole body of Christ. It takes each individual one to enter in with their heart and come unto Jesus and be willing to walk in every area, to come up higher, to submit themselves. That when they make a commitment to pray, to wait upon their faith, that they will do that, that they will wait upon their faith. I love the Lord. I'm so excited what he's leading us into. I'm so excited because I'm so thankful for the messages of hope.
done for me. And see on the portal, he's waiting. Yes, he's watching. He's watching for you and for me.
Come home, come home, come home. If you are weary, come home.
Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Wherever he leads me, I will follow.
Yes, okay.
Wherever you want me.
Yea, my people, I am the living God, and I do walk in the midst of thee, my people, and I am present in your midst, as I have always been, and yea, I am present to lead my people where I desire for them to go. But if my people will not be sensitive to my spirit, and if they will not follow where I do lead them, then they shall surely go astray, because my beloved, the enemy is also present to hinder you from following my voice and walking in my footsteps and being led of my spirit. And if you choose to allow him to do so, he can lull you to sleep, and he can cause your mind to wander, and he can cause you to lose direction. But yea, my spirit and my power are at your disposal, and if you will choose to follow my voice and to be led by my spirit, he cannot hinder. But my children, when you choose to sit in lethargy and allow your minds to be captivated by that which is not born of me, and when you will not take heed unto my spirit, then you give him the right to lead you according to his way, and he desires to cause you to miss that which my spirit would lead you into, for he does not want you to receive the strength of your God and to know clearly what my voice is saying unto thee. Oh, be not deceived, for I shall surely give you that which is necessary, and it is at your disposal. Choose this day whom you will follow and whom you will listen to, for his power can be broken in an instant if you will follow me and take the provisions that I hand out to you. You can know clearly the direction of your God if you will follow my voice. Who will be your master? Will you hearken unto my voice? Will you take the power that I have given thee and put his works to naught? Or will you allow him to confuse and deceive and lull you to sleep? I am calling you this night to heed the challenge of my spirit and walk in victory, for the power and my spirit is available unto you sake of me and put the enemy of your soul to flight. The choice is yours. The decision will be made by you. Choose this day whom you will serve.
Would you stand, please? Now, hearken very clearly, carefully. That is very straight, powerful talk from the Creator of the universe, from the Almighty Sovereign, who humbled himself to behold heaven and earth. Tonight is the night of decision. God has brought us right down to the point of decision right now, tonight. Some people are going to the lake of fire. Some are going to heaven. Those that decide to go to heaven will go to heaven. Not those necessarily who want to. Those who decide to. Those who decide to go to the lake of fire will go there. Our lives are lived according to the decisions we make. A number in the congregation tonight are in deep trouble. Deep trouble. Deep trouble. Because you have not been making the right decisions for your life. You have been making the wrong decision every day. And you have come to the service and you have been making wrong decisions all during the service, every service, until you are owned and operated by demonic spirits, though you love God and are Christians, and though you yourself would make heaven your home. And I don't mean that you're totally backslidden and living in terrible sin and demon-possessed, but I mean there are areas of your life that you have given over to the enemy, and they own you and them in that area, and that you do not put yourself in a place to ever allow the Holy Ghost to break you. You wander, your mind wanders every service. You never listen to a full sermon. You never worship during a full worship service. You sing with your throat and your mind wanders. You are a victim of demonic spirits that have captured you. And they are pulling you down to hell and your life is showing it. And you're unwilling. You're living in sin. You're living in sin. You have no life in God. You're dead. You're dead. You're a dead church member. And God doesn't know you as his own. And you're not going up in the out-translation of the saints. Now you know who I'm talking to, you that it applies to. Tonight, you are fortunate indeed to use that term. To be in the service tonight, because the Holy Ghost is drawing you. He's drawing you and he's giving you a chance. And I seem to have this scripture come to my mind that says the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. And it appears that God is saying in a very strong way, tonight you are making your choice. Tonight, you are making your choice. I won't continue to pull on you and you keep telling me no. Tonight, you're making your choice. Tonight, you're making your choice. Music ministry is going to sing an altar call. I want you that are in the category that I've just spoken about to take the lower area of the prayer, the entire outer wall, along the wall, all the way around on the bench, on that first level. And if there's more that's needed, take the next one down. You that come to pray, whose spirits are up in God, and you just got to have more of God, you climb these stairs to the upper room. You that are in the lower chambers, and you've got to have God, you come on down on the main lower level downhill. This may cost you a little pride, but pride will buy you nothing. You that want to serve as helpers at the altar, you do that. But don't let that stand first. If you've got to pray, let them be before the Holy Ghost alone. Sacrifice tonight. Help. You take care of your own needs first tonight. Everyone, their own need first. Because no matter what strait you're in tonight, you can always rely on somebody other than God. You and God are going to have to make this thing together, a compact. You are going to have to make a decision before God, before Almighty God. One last thing. You are making decisions every day, all day long. Some of those decisions are not right, and tonight you're going to settle them. If you have been bound by tobacco, if you are one of these little wine before dinner Christians, little cocktail, and you've been petting that thing and justifying it, you're unjustified tonight. If for no other reason than you're a stumbling block to Christians, and this church has forbid it, you that are living in with lust, fornication, adultery, you're condemned by the Almighty tonight. You're condemned. Don't ever do it again as long as you live. You go and settle that matter tonight. You that have any sin in your life in any form, I mean something that is biting on you and controlling you, you give that up tonight. You pay the price. You that are full of gossiping, take care of it. You that are judgmental, critical spirits, judgmental, critical, terrible thing in God's sight. Absolutely wrong, usurping the position of God Himself. You come and repent of that thing. It's not your business to be judgmental nor critical. You are not the judge. Stop judging one another anymore. The Bible commands. You go take care of that sin tonight. You that are so full of pride that you can't be corrected, so full of pride that you can't put yourself in proper respect. God says that pride is as a sin of witchcraft. Get rid of it tonight. It's hindering your spiritual life. You that are lethargic and dead, dry and prayerless and powerless, you come down tonight and throw yourself on the altar and cry with agony. Call unto God, scream out if you have to. But you get through tonight and pay a price. Everyone come and pray in faith, desperation. Get everything taken care of. we might move on the wings of a new faith and a new power. God's Spirit is waiting to give revelation and power and might like this world has never seen. And we are blocking him. We're standing right smack in the way, and he's trying to use us. And because he's trying to use us, Satan is here in an onslaught. A heavy fog and a heavy cloud hangs in demonic force over the people of God. They're fighting you with every ounce of strength. And wake up. Slice through that demonic force by a decision of the will and faith in God. And you will be free in an instant. And will soar in the sunshine of God. Alice, if God is, it's time to move in to the altar. If God is definitely still keeping that unction upon you, you give it forth now.
Indeed. My beloved ones, I would plead with thee as you go forth into your chamber to pour out your heart before your God. I would beseech thee, my beloved, that you be completely honest with your Father. For indeed the hour that is at hand is crucial, and there are implications in this night, my beloved, that you know not of. Indeed, there are consequences to your decisions that you make this very night that can and shall make the difference as to whether or not you shall be included in that great company that I shall call my bride. And indeed, the hour has come, my beloved, as I have even promised, in which I shall point the finger at you, and I shall reveal that you have been unwilling to give up, and I shall make plain your sin before all, and indeed your heart shall be crushed by the weight of embarrassment and chastisement that I shall be forced to place upon you. For indeed there are those with whom I have striven, and their lives are hanging in the balance before my face, and I would not come unto you harshly, but I would give you this last opportunity to give all up unto the Lord your God, for surely the tide shall sweep you away, and you shall be carried away, even as I have spoken it. Yea, there are those I am equipping this very hour to be the vessels who shall accuse you correctly. And yea, I have been dealing with their hearts that they might have to be placed into that extremely difficult position. And I shall surely and accurately use them, my beloved. Oh, but my heart would plead with you that you would flee away into your chamber and allow me to deal with you there. And though I shall convict you by my Spirit, indeed I shall also to walk in holiness before your God. Even so, my beloved, I lay the choice before you. Do not force the hand of your God, for I have warned, and I warned once again, and indeed I shall not speak again, but I shall move. Though it shall break my heart, I shall move that I might have a body free of sin and its leprosy. Therefore, hear the heart of your God and yield unto me, for I shall be correct in dealing with you, and I shall be gentle with your heart, and I shall restore you to full sonship in me. I shall not fail you, and I shall not be unfair. My beloved, I beseech thee, listen and respond unto your God, that you might be spared that which shall break my very heart, saith your Lord.
Please sit down. Time doesn't mean anything right now. Don't worry about your children's sleep or your home or anything else. We will not be long. There's two things I must explain before we go into the altar call tonight. This is the most important service of the year to date. It is most spiritually provocative, the most fearful, and yet the most hopeful. And I'm very thankful for it. Amen. You that are here tonight, to use an inadequate term, are fortunate to be in the service tonight. I pity you that are sitting there unconcerned. I pity you. Because tonight marks the milestone and the turning point of Community Chapel. As when Israel walked into the Jordan River, when it was rolled back, and they put stones in the middle of the river, 12 stones in a pyramid, as it were, piled them up. It marked the beginning, and they put 12 stones on the other side, and 12 on the back side. It marked the change of a new life. Now, some of you might think, oh, it's no biggie. I can just ask God to forgive me later and everything in this. That is not true. If you will search the scriptures, you'll see that in the prerogative of the sovereign God, there comes times when he decides, this is that, this is the turning point, and this is when I'm done. There came a time when God says, you go in the wilderness and die. There came a time when God said, I cast you off, Israel. I write you a bill of divorce. You are now divorced. There comes a time when you're put out of the church of Jesus Christ and your name is taken off the roll of heaven. There comes a time when the spirit quits striving and God says, flood, come down. I quit preaching to these people. There's a time when God says, I decide when to move on. I decide when to quit striving. When I quit calling you, you cannot do a thing to find God. You can be dry, you can cry, and the heavens will be brass. You will never find him. You will never hear his voice. There's not one thing you can do to get God except the Spirit of God draw you. You cannot come. And when you have some said no long enough, he says, then that's it for you. We may have 50 people less in the service from now on. I don't know. There is going to be a complete change of our operation in the eldership, in the counseling, marriage counseling, all types of counseling. We are no longer going to carry on 6 months long and hard wading through souls that are unwilling to walk for God. You're going to pay the price. You're not going to be in this assembly. It's going to cost us finances, but I could care less. Because God's going to do a miracle and multiply the oil that's here and the meal that's here. This is going to be a place where God's name is reverenced, and this is going to be a place of a holy people. We've gotten too sloppy, and tonight you're on the carpet, every single one of you, every single one of us, no exceptions. I'm not threatening, I am pleading. I have nothing negative inside of me. I have come, I feel as the heart of God Himself, as the loving Heavenly Father, who just clearly is stating that for the sake of holiness and the onward move of God, and the time of the hour when the shortness is coming at the end of the age, and there's new developments, that new things must be done. God cannot wait any longer. And pressures are coming in that we do not see and know of. Things are turning. God knows the time that's left and what must happen. And He must do what He must do. And He must do it with those who are willing. There comes a time when the Achans must be burned, that the rest of Israel may go on. This is the turning point. Mark my words. Mark the words of the Lord, and think not otherwise. Anyone who says, well, it's too hard, I just give up and quit, is a fool. Thou fool, your soul shall be required of you. And if you think it's hard to give up unsaved boyfriends, sinful pleasures, fornication, gossip, criticalness, etc., you ought to try the lake of fire for eternity. If you've got pressures on you, and you cannot overcome the pressures, if you don't care in your mind, you say, I know it, but I don't care, I'm going to hell and I don't care, then you better know that is so unreasonable that demons have got a hold of you. And if you say, well, I know it, but that's how I feel, then you better say, I'm not going to feel that way. I'm going to get rid of the demons and feel differently. My friend, this, I'm talking about very serious things. We're going to have a new body. We're going to help you. And we're going to put you right under the screws, as it were. Because God is compelling us to do so. I told you this was coming. I just wasn't quite sure when. Tonight's the night that makes the change. God is not saying that if you're not perfect, He's putting you out. But there had better be repentance and a willing heart. Everything must go on the block tonight. Everything on the line. Nothing held back. I had an appointment tonight with somebody, but that's canceled. All that person has to do, he knows his problems, she knows the problem, just go down into the prayer room and take care of it. Tonight, the second thing is this. Everybody tonight is going to pray. There is no visitation allowed in the assembly tonight, any place, even in the foyer. You either pray or go home. And when you get through praying, go home. This is no, well, tonight there is, will be no discussion. This is no fellowship tonight. This will help keep any pull from you. Tonight, this is a time for us to go right to God and to pray and to wait upon Him. You may have to, have you finished your prayer and you're all done and you're satisfied and your spouse is here, you may sit and wait for them. You might even, after you have completed that and you're sitting there and somebody else is sitting, no waiting for their spouse. I'm not trying to say that while you're waiting and you have settled it in your heart and it's taking them some time, what you should be doing is down there praying for them. You should be praying for others back here if you're all done. But tonight, this is a holy, serious matter, and this is the direction that we're going to go tonight. I thank God for it. I'm so happy for it because it's going to do us good. So many of us have been waiting for this time, waiting for the Spirit to press us to do what we want to do but couldn't do and wouldn't do unless the Spirit pressed us. Some of you won't heed this warning tonight. And as soon as we find out about your sins and what you're doing, you're going to be right on the line. You're going to be openly rebuked. And you're going to pay the price, or you're out. And your name is going to go down in the bulletin. Be stated that so-and-so is out of fellowship with this assembly, and you're not to fellowship them. They're out because they will not walk with God. That's going to be what's going to happen. We're going to purge tonight. Afterwards, there's going to be purging. I'll make those decisions in each case. But the elders will bring it to my attention, and the counselors. Everyone here, you bring us. If people will not walk right, if you see people living in blatant sin, then you are required by this church government, even if they're your best friend, you let us know, because your best friend living on a blatant sin, you're not helping him as a friend. We will give them a chance to repent before we put them out. If they're put out, then they'll do so willingly and knowingly, refusing to repent. Refusing. Because we will not put them out if they refuse, if they don't refuse. If they will do so. We'll give everybody will have a fair chance. But we're going to pay the price tonight. We're not going to carry on. Now, I don't want to leave wrong implications for those who may be here. This has been a precious body. We've had saints here witness like no church I've ever seen. Love God in the presence of God. This is not a terrible, derelict church. In fact, lining it up with the willingness of other churches, it is super high. If it were not, the body would have stormed out angry a long time ago. There are very few churches in the nation you can bring something like this to without them either stomping out mad or yawning in your face. Most of them will not take this and pay the price. I commend you for that. But you measure us up to the white hot holiness of God, and we fall so far short. And you measure us up to where God wants us and what we must do, and we are short. Therefore, God is calling us up. So after tonight, we will be up. Now, without any further ado, taking enough time, music that will draw us to the altar, the call of God. I hope I haven't talked you back out of it. Please stand. Even if you feel a little tired and the spirit is lifted a little bit, you go ahead and go back down to the altar. And when you do, the spirit will come right back upon you. It'll come right back. God bless you. Just go as the music is being played. Thank you.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Hear the voice the Lord. grace.